Today is January 29th, 28th day of the month of Shvat. This is the women's Chumash here with the end of Bereshit, Perek He, beginning of Perek Vav. Okay, Rabotai. We are in Sefer Bereshit, towards the end of Perek He, beginning of Perek Vav. And I just want to wrap up one or two things from the end of Perek He. If you remember correctly, at the end of Perek He, beginning with Pasuk Chaf Chet, we were told about the birth of Noach. Vayechi Lemech Shtayim Ushmonim Shana Ma'at Shana Vayolid Bein Vayikra Et Shemo Noach Lemor Ze Yenachamenu Mima'aseinu Umeitzvon Yadenu Min Ha'adama She'ira Hashem. He was named Noach, and the reason for his name is given, because this particular person will comfort and console us from the difficulty that we have in plowing the land. After having God cursed the land, it became even more difficult to extract produce. And Noah was the big genius who developed plows and sickles in order to make produce from the land somewhat less burdensome to mankind. And that's the simple pshat. Ze yinachameinu mima'aseinu mitzvon yadeinu min adama she'ira Hashem. However, there are two interpretations, and that's what I want to show you today. How this name came about. The first way is, if you take a look at the sheet that I distributed to you, where it says, I didn't mark it page 1 and 2, where it's Pei Hei on the top. The Radak on the left-hand side is bracketed, where the Radak gives us two perspectives about Lemech, his knowledge in advance about what Noach is going to signify. Zeyinachameinu. So first he writes, Ve'amru Rabotenu Zal, Gadol Navi Haya Lemech. Lemech was a tremendous prophet. How do I know that he was a tremendous prophet? Because when this little pisher is born, he's able to predict that what's going to happen with Noah. He is going to do something which will ease the burden of the economy for all of mankind. Well, how did he know that? How did he know that Noach is going to develop into someone who will now be very creative and create, like I said, he'll create all farming utensils, and that's what he's given credit for. Farming, how did he know about it? Says Radak in his first interpretation, this is simple prophecy. Okay, if it's prophecy, there's nothing to argue about. Lemech was a great prophet. That's one thing which the Midrash says. And what was the great comfort and ease that Noah generated in this world? Amru, that same Midrash said, Ki ad shelo ba Noach ba'olam, until Noah came into this world, lo haya lahem klei macharesha, they did not have any plowing utensils. V'hayu yigehem biyidehem, they would work with what? With their hands. Bimar upesel, and with little shards of what? Of utensils. Lacharosh v'lizroa, to plow and to plant. Mishabon Noach, shahaya ish ha'adama, once Noach arrived, who was a man of the land. V'chishei b'sichlo, lehakel ba'avodat adama, and he used his intellect to think of creative ways how to lighten the load in the production of produce. Tikein klei macharesha, he established plowing utensils. V'chireish im hashorim v'hachamorim, he even came up with another ingenious idea. Let what? Let the animals pull the plow. I don't have to pull the plow. That was a great invention of Noah. V'limdu b'nei ha'olam nimenu, And all of the peoples of the world learned this great trick from Noah. Hine, as a result, ki hu hekel ba'avodat adamah. He lightened their load in the production of produce. Vizehu hanechama v'hanacha. And this is what the pasuk says: Ze yinachamenu mima asenu mitzvon yodenu. So said the midrash. The problem with the midrash is that if you were to survey any one of your children and ask them to note who are the great prophets amongst Am Yisrael, I don't think anybody will have identified Lemech as a great navi. No one will ever do so. And here you have a midrash. He says, "Navi gadol haya," and this would be incredible prophecy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared with him that when his son grows up, he's going to come up with these enormous contributions. What?
His own fate in the end, if he were a prophet.
Yeah, he didn't have to worry about it. He could have developed them himself. Why? If he sees that he's going to grow up, well, he didn't develop this when he was 2 years, 2 weeks old. If he's such a prophet, why didn't he do it? Why didn't he do it himself? What? Right? Yeah, Lemech could have done it himself.
Yeah, but I'm saying his end was, if he had prophesied his end, he could have maybe would.
Correct. So then go down about 10 lines. I bracketed the next section where the Radak says, that's all Midrash. Well, what's the Pshat? What's the Pshat? Ulefi derech ha-Pshat. Masha omar lemech zeyinachamenu lo amar derech nevuah. It's not to be understood that this is a sense of prophecy. Ela kar'o noach L'siman derech bracha u'tfila. It is simply a hope, an aspiration that his son, the next generation, will indeed bring a sense of relief from the burdensome tasks that I and all of my colleagues have. And the fact that when a child is born that you offer a tefila for something else, that is, there is ample documentation in Sefer Bereshit, and he simply brings you one. Kimo shekara Rachel bina Yosef. Just as when Rachel gives birth to Yosef, why does she call him Yosef? And she says, Yosef Hashem li bein acher. Let God, what? Add to me another child. I don't want to just have one child. I want to at least have two children. And the thinking Rashi will tell us when we get to that is because Rachel felt I should at least be equal to the Shvachot. Bilhah and Zilpah gave birth to two children each. I shouldn't be humiliated that my husband bore six children from Leah, two from Bilhah, two from Zilpah, and only one from me. So when she gives birth to Yosef, she engages in prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yosef li Hashem Acher. So describing a child, either based on an event that happens now, happens right now, or describing an event for the future, that is standard procedure. Look at the way Dina and Yaakov name all of their children. Leah. When Leah gives birth to children, so she understands when she gives birth to Yehuda, Hapa'am Ode et Hashem. Why? Because she had prophecy that they're going to be 12 children. Oh, I figured initially that there would be three from each of the wives. So at Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, I have my share. Now I have something above and beyond my share. Hapam ode et Hashem. So to offer a deen based on a description of what's happening or what might happen, that is fine. But the prophecy for a prophet to know what's going to happen later, that's unusual. So what is the simple pshat? Zeyin achameinu, where Lemech and his family offer tefillah. Look, we are saddled with working, and the work conditions of our community, the whole world at that time, were incredibly difficult. They are plowing using their hands. And perhaps others may have prayed to God as well. But here, this family specifically asks for relief for someone to find something to lighten the burden. And as a result, it's not a prophecy according to the Midrash, but rather, according to the Pshat, simply a prayer for the future. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu indeed allow this child to develop into a person who will be able to somehow ease our burden going forward. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know that. When is it? It's certainly not in the Chumash. You don't find any time, none of Yaakov's children named their children Avraham. Not one of them. Why couldn't they do so to remember Grandpa Abe or Grandpa Isaac? Not one of them did so. So the answer is, I don't know. I don't know when people started naming after deceased relatives. I don't know. Maybe they were all Sephardim. So they named after living relatives, and that's it. They don't learn after, that's all, right?
Robert?
Yes.
Could it be that finding tools to make the Torah easier led to the bad behavior of the following generations? Because they had more time on their hands?
It's possible. It is possible, because the text is going to tell us in a minute that from this point on, the generation has, we'll see, it's an interesting point. Maybe I have more time. Good. But then the Radak, as well as the Rashbam, address another issue which we raised. When we read through chapter 5, I told you that there was significance in the beginning of Perakeh. Remember, we spent a lot of time in Zeh, Sefer, Toldot Adam, right? The way God created man, Biyom Hibaram, right? Bitsalmo Ubidmuto, spent a lot of time. We spent a lot of time at the end of the about Chanoch, right? Ki lakach oto Elohim, ve'einenu, about the unique situation of Chanoch. What did we barely spend 5 seconds on? What did we barely spend 5 seconds on? All the interim stuff. Oh, this guy was born, and then 212 years later, he had another kid, and then he lived, and he died, and he died. Very nice. Is there anything significant about each point? We said nothing very much, other than the fact that the Torah is outlining what? Outlining the name of the generations, because there are 10 generations from Adam to Noah. The Rashbam and the Radak take it one step further. Because to let us know that there are 10 generations, how could you have even contracted the discussion, the dialogue, even further? Just to let you know that there are 10 generations. What would it have been necessary in the text to say if the only point is, I want you to know there are 10 generations between Adam and Noah? What would the text have to say?
Noah was the 10th.
Okay, but if you want to even give the names, what would you do? Okay, yes, but if you wanted to give the names, what would you say? Vayoled. Vayoled. And then you have to know how many years they were alive before they gave birth, how many years they lived after they gave birth. No. So Radak and the Rashbam will elaborate why the number of years is significant. Why the number of years is significant? We're going to read it in the Rashbam because he elaborates even more than the Radak does. So please look on the top right, on the right hand side of the page where it says Rashbam. On the right, I bracketed it. I'm still on page Peihei. Now, here we have to take Rashbam seriously, and I told you the Rashbam is the classic Pashtan. He never quotes a midrash. Never quotes a midrash. He is the ultimate Pashtan. And I showed you at the beginning of Parshat Vayeshev, we should all live and be well until we get to Parshat Vayeshev, which is chapter 37. We should all live and be well until chapter 37. But there in his introduction to Parshat Vayeshev, the Rashbam writes his critique of his grandfather Rashi. Why did you pile on these midrashim? Why couldn't you teach us the pshat? And he says that Grandpa Rashi told him that he was planning on writing another commentary, only using pshat, never quoting a midrash. But Rashi never lived that long to do so. I guess the winery took a little more time than he expected.
The taste testing.
Rashi worked in the winery. So let's see what the Rashbam says. Vayhi kol yemei lemech. I don't know why. Apparently it was in some manuscript. Hikshe harabin Shmuel ben Meir. That's the Rashbam's name. Shmuel ben Meir. Why all of a sudden here would it be would they write that in some of the manuscripts? That Rashbam asks a question. You know, why we notice the Rashbam, you know. No other comment of the Rashbam does it say, Omer Rashbam, Rabbi Shmuel ben Meir says. But in some of the manuscripts, that's what it says. Here is his question. Lama lanu limnot shnei rishaim haktuvim ba parsha. Shnei doesn't mean two, but the years. Why is it so significant to highlight for us the years of all of these rishaim? How does he know that they're rishaim? How does he know that they're rishaim? Doesn't tell us. The text tells us absolutely nothing. So what would you say if you're a pashtun? You are a pashtun. What would now reflect upon you to comment that these people who have been enumerated from the beginning of the unit, from Adam until whoever we get, is a Rasha? What in the text?
If there was something good about them, they would have said something good.
Good? That's true. Who did we say something good about?
Hanoh.
What did the Torah say about Hanoh? He walked with God. Well, if I find it necessary in the text to tell me that Hanoch worked with God, by inference I know that what? The others didn't walk with God. So, simple from reading the text, the Rashbam deduces that all of these other geniuses in our unit here were Rishaim, basically corrupt people. Hence prompting the question, why would the Torah spend ink space telling me how long this Russia lived and how long that Russia lived? Yes.
But also we know that
the what?
We know that the generation before were corrupt.
Okay, so that the but so let's crystallize your question. From which generation and onward were they corrupt, which now causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to decide to bring them out? Is there any indication? No. If we read the Chumash the way we normally read the Chumash, when did they were they corrupt? Only in whose time? Noah's time. You don't know anything about it. Perhaps the Rashbam would say maybe they've been corrupt and God's getting filled. We will come to somebody who will say something like that. We'll come that soon. It's a good point. But his point is, why even give me any information about somebody who is a Rasha and contribute nothing worthwhile? And they did give us information. What's the only piece of information they gave me? The number of years. Why do I give you the number of years? I could have asked this question without his editorial that they were Rasha'im. Even if they were not Rasha'im, they were just average dudes. I could ask the same question. What do I need to know how old? Answers the Rasha, Vitirah. Dikach darkan shel nevi'im ze achar ze kidei leida minyan hashanim mibriat olam ad yimehem. Whoa. Says the Rashbam, I'm going to tell you all. Because I want everybody to be able to know when your child asks you how old is this world, that you know exactly how old this world is. Exactly. How old this world? Ki mitoch hashanim uminyanim haksuvim kan, from the years and the numbers that are documented here, uminyan shnot hadorot haktuvim ad Moshe Rabbeinu, and all of the dates, the years that are given in psukim from here on in until whom Moshe Rabbeinu. We will have at the end of Parshas Noah another lengthy list of lots of generations. Another 10 generations from whom to whom?
No,
to Avram. We know nothing about these people. nothing ever significant happened. The only thing the Torah will tell us was how long they lived. Why do I care how many people they lived? Because now it gets me to Abraham. Well, I know how long Abraham lived. I know how long Yitzchak lived. I know how long Yaakov lived, because that's documented in the Chumash. Then I know when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, and I know how long he lived. So I can calculate from the beginning of time until Moshe Rabbeinu how many years the world is. Uminyan Shibud Mitzrayim. And I also know how long the enslavement in Egypt. Dichsiv, as it is written, flip the page. Umoshav b'nei Yisrael asher yashu b'eretz Mitzrayim. It says, what does it say there in the Parshat Bo? 430 years. That's what it says. It says, Umoshav, how long will b'nei Yisrael and Mitzrayim? Arba me'ot u'shloshim shana. Uminyan lamid, uminyan mem, lamadnu, minyan shanim asher mibrei re'olam. And then we know what? How many years were in the desert? 40 years. So now I know till they left, from the time they left, till they left, ready to enter into Eretz Yisrael, I know exactly from the day of creation. Because I know how long it was from Adam to Cain to Shes, to Chanok to Mehalalel, and I go straight down the generations to Abraham to Yitzchak, and I can calculate this. Asher Nichnus L'Eretz Yisrael Ukvar Mefurash B'Neviim Minyan Hashanim Asher Yitzias Mitzrayim Ad Binyan Be'at Rishon. And in the Navi, there are documented numbers from the number of from the time that they left Mitzrayim until. They built Bayit Rishon. Umi binyano ad churbano. From the time Bayit Rishon, first Beit HaMikdash was built until it's destroyed, we know 410 years. Umi tov divrei Daniel lamadnu minyan hashanim asher michurban Bayit Rishon ad churban Bayit Sheni, and so on and so forth. So the Rashbam tells us this information is critical.
It answers the question that
correct.
It's kind of like the response.
That is correct. Zeh Sefer Tovel Dogan is to be read very simply. I want to give you an accounting of what? When was the world created and how many years it's been in existence? Because that is going to be a troublesome question that everybody will encounter. How old exactly is this world? So the Rashbam is telling you, I'm telling you, God is offering testimony as to how old the world is. How is he offering testimony? By telling us the number of years from one generation to the next.
But how many years?
Hold on one second. So the Rashbam does not allude to anything that the first 6 days of creation could have been anything but a day. He alludes to nothing of the sort. Why does he allude to nothing of the sort? Because the Rashbam doesn't believe in anything but the text. And the text says, what does it say? Exactly. It was a day. That's all it is. So now, according to Rashbam, I know for a fact that the world is exactly 5,774 years and X number of days since the world has been created. That's what the Rashbam says. And the world of science will tell you that's ridiculous. Why will the world of science tell you that? Because we've done carbon-14 dating systems on this tree and that mountain, and it's 20 million years old. Very nice. So, which creates a lot of tension between those who believe in the accountability of our tradition and those who believe in science. What do you want to suggest?
I have a question. Well, we got the Torah.
It was not a confusion of a day. It's only a question of when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told to start the count.
So,
but the day is the day.
Isn't that based on the Jewish
Absolutely not. No place in the Chumash that says when the Jewish calendar started. Yeah.
The day then in creation has to be different than these days because they delivered a baby the same day as they were born and then they grew up and killed each other the same day.
According to the text, that's exactly what happened.
In a 24-hour
That is correct.
So very good.
That is correct. Now let me respond to one theory. Yeah, question.
From our vantage point, could be millions of years. And the Chumash never says 24 hours. It's amazing. So,
okay.
That explains it all.
That's possible. That's not. But it never says any place that a day is 24 hours.
Right.
So when did that change take place? a gradual change as to how long the day was. Okay. It's a theory. So I will simply tell you one standard theory. Standard. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe has written extensively about this. And what does he say? God is not a prank artist. I believe all the scientists who say that, you know what, this tree is 20 million years old. That's true. It's true. So did I put it wrong? Why did he do so? The world was created a completed universe. A completed universe. Meaning, when God planted trees on day number 3, does that mean every tree in the world was a little sapling? Is that what it meant? No. What did he do? He created a world with a tree that's 20 million years old. He created a world to generate the impression that what? That this is a world. And a world doesn't operate with the fact that every single little sap, because otherwise, what would Adam HaRishon find in Gan Eden the day he was born? What would he find in Gan Eden on the day? What? What? Correct. He would not find any tree to eat. What does the text tell us? That there were every single tree were eights. Lema'acha says that black the trees pretty clean.
They had already borne fruit.
They had already borne fruit. Now that means that either one of two things. Either a day is not a day, that's one conclusion. A day is not a day. That's one explanation. That the days of creation are not a day. A day in creation could be a billion years. So if a day in creation could be a million years, well, the trees were created 300,000 years before Adam was created. Because Adam was created towards the end of the sixth day. The trees were created in the day number 3. Well, if a day is a million years, Adam was preceded by trees. If trees preceded Adam by 3 million years, I could have plenty of trees to eat. That's one explanation. Others don't want to go that route and say, no, God created a fully developed, blossomed world. So when Adam is created on day number 1, he can go right away, what? Yes, he's a full adult. Because otherwise, if he was a baby when he was created on day number 1, on day number 6, he was a little pisher. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is engaging in dialogue with him. I don't want you to eat. I can eat from all those trees, but don't eat from the Eitz HaDaat. What are you talking about? He's a little baby. So obviously he wasn't a baby. Because if he was a baby, now take the theory on time. Okay? Think yourself. Okay? Take that standard explanation of the time. Each day is a million years. Adam was born a baby. How did he survive till he was 2 years old? He was a baby, okay? As if he was born from a regular birth. Who took care of him? There was no mother to take care of him. Nobody. How did he survive? You have to say that Adam HaRishon was created a human being, not a baby. Well, if he was created of him, the rest of the world was also created fully developed. And hence, the Lubavitcher Rebbe writes that this is, Rabbi Tendler happens to take the same approach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a fully developed world with trees that are already 6,000 years old, 60,000 years old. When did he create them? On day number three. On day number three. So don't get shocked that you do your carbon 14 dating system and a tree looks like it's what? 30 million years. Who cares? It's true. It looks like it's a. Had the world existed for 30 million years, this tree would be 30 million years old. But they were all created on day number three, and the world is 5,774 years. The Ramban fully subscribes to the idea, we read this early in Sefer Bereishis, that not here, that the days of 6 days of creation are not necessarily days. And he cites the pasuk that we read every single Shabbat morning. But kiyom is what? One yom is in Tefillah Moshe, elef shanim. Right. One day is elef shanim b'einecha. The one day is like 1,000 years.
The day says we know that didn't start before the Me'orot created. Which means he didn't have Yom
Laila. That's another thing.
That's true.
He had Or and Choshech.
Yeah, what?
He had Or and he had light on day number one. He probably brought Elohim Or Yom with a Choshech Karolai. So he could have had night and day without the sun. Could have had that. So the Ramban just says 6 days don't mean 6 days. If they don't mean 6 days, yes, the world could be millions of years old. So what do we count 5,774 from what? From the end of creation. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, where he will tell Noah after the flood, Yom Volayla Lo Yishbot. There will never be a cessation of what any longer?
Day and night.
It's always going to remain the same. After creation.
No more suspension of the rules of nature.
Correct. Up until the world was created, there were plenty of suspension. So there are two approaches. I believe that Rashbam, by telling us this piece of information, is trying to tell us what his opinion is. Not trying. He is telling us what his opinion is. What is his opinion? It was exactly 5,774 years. And when Lamech is born, it's number 826, whatever it is. That's exactly how the world is, And that's why, says the Rashbam, that's why the Torah told us how old this Russia was and how old that Russia was. Even though they were Rishayim. Why? Because it's significant for me to know the question, Kama shanim miyamei buriat ha'olam, from the time that the world was created. Yeah.
Would the other worlds, people
stay on the worlds? I don't know, because I've only studied this Chumash, and I haven't read anything else about other worlds. The Midrash does say that there are, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamot v'hech rivan, and he destroyed them. That's what the Medrash says. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do so? Because he didn't get it right the first time. It's hard to understand. Why would he do something like that? Yes?
So how does the Rashbam explain was Adam HaRishon created as a fully...
Yes, he was. That's what he would say. I'll peep shot. Because you have to say that. Because God is talking to him the day he was born. How does God talk to a baby who's a day old? So he had to be a full adult. Potentially to what? To exercise a decision. Eat or not eat. You have to be a fully developed human being in order to make that decision.
The trees were created fully grown.
Want that? There's a tree. Eitz nechmad lema'achal. Right there. Just grab the apples, grab the grapefruits, grab whatever you want. That's correct. Yeah. We don't have to. You don't have to believe that.
So why would we believe it? Like, where does it come up that way?
Because some people don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world that is, that he created a world with a tree. What would be the purpose on day number one of putting a tree that looks like 6 million years old? Well, what's the purpose of that? Why would he put a tree in this world that's 6 million years old? Tell me. If the world is exactly 5, 7, 9, each day is one day, so that's the... Does not tell Shmuel when you're a prank artist? Ha! You think it's... You think it's 6 million years? It's only 5,777.
We teach our children that it's only... I mean, they learn that it's only
7 million years. Why would Akhundi Shmuel set it up that science would automatically contradict it? Why? Why is he doing it? Who's he trying to play, playing games with the scientists? So either you take two theories. Either it's one day is not a day, or yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the completed world. You acknowledge that the tree is 6 million years old. You acknowledge it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted a 6 million tree on day number one. That's what you acknowledge. So the Rashbam, that's what I wanted to show you. The Rashbam and the Radak does at the end of it, he says the exact same. He agrees with the Rashbam that the purpose of enumerating here, as well as 10 generations at the end of Noah, where we go from 10 Noah to Abraham, and there is no interruption because there's not one guy there worth anything. Here you had Chanoch, who was worth something. All you do is let you know how long he lived, how long he died, and that's it. That was point number two.
So according
yes.
To, just to review, according to Rashbam's theory, the day was 24 hours?
Yes. 100% 24 hours. Just like a day like we know it today. That is correct.
There's something else that I'm talking about. It seems to me the discussion only of the destiny of Jewish people. All of these...
Correct. The symbols, the time units are all related to Am Yisrael. But the purpose of creation of the world, no doubt. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Didn't you say?
That every one of these time markers are related to Am Yisrael. There is nothing here which denotes time in terms of whatever happened in the world in general. Supporting the notion that God created the world for us. Now. Okay, but whoever is going to turn out to be, but the rest of these. The unit ends with Pasuk Lamed Bet. Vayihi Noach ben Chamesh Meot Shana, Vayolet Noach et Shem et Cham ve'et Yafet. So take a look at Rashi. We always start with Rashi. Rashi elaborates here. So does the Radak and the Ramban. No, only the Radak. We'll start with Rashi. Noach was 500 years old and he gives birth to Shem, Cham, and Yafet. Ladies and ladies, without asking you exact numbers, give me the time frame about all the 10 generations when they had children, approximately after how many years? And what was the range?
120, 130.
Good. At best was what? Maybe 200. And suddenly, Noach doesn't have a child until he's 500 years old. So Rashi is going to deal with this question. Why wouldn't Noah have a child until he's 500 years old? Where everybody else is giving birth in the hundreds, 180, 170, the latest was 210. That's the latest.
He's too busy creating his utensils.
Okay. Okay. Maybe. He was so busy commercial. He was busy with his livelihood. In today's society, that would be perfect. You're so busy with your career, you have no time to have a family. That's afterwards. That's going to be after Noah, after the flood. But right now, Ham isn't born yet. Huh? So let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi has a very, I'm not going to say bizarre, but it is unusual midrash, which Rashi quotes to answer this question.
Maybe
Hashem's not sure he wants to do tomorrow. No, this is before. No, that's That's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbon. Not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi's going to answer that this has nothing to do with Noah. We'll see.
He said that he doesn't want
them to become. That's what Rashi's going to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision was. Let's read Rashi. Then Chamesh Me'ot Shana. Omri Rabbi Yud. Rabbi Yudin said, Rabbi of Shomri Torah in Fairlawn. So, this is going to be on the next time this Parshas Parashas, this will be on FMU. Ma tam kol hadorot holidu lekuf shana. Why is it that all of the generations gave birth in the hundreds? Vizeh lechamesh meot. Now, under no circumstances does Rabbi Yudin believe that just what happened. He tried and tried and tried and he didn't have a kid. No, he doesn't want to believe that. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Risha'im Heim, if the children that Noah will be giving birth to will turn out to be Risha'im, Yovdu Bamayim, what's going to happen to them? They're going to drown in the Mabul. Vera litzadik ze, vera, and it would be what? Bad for this tzaddik to have to watch his own children what? Drown in the flood. Listen to this. It's getting worse. V'im tzaddikim heim, if they'll all be righteous people, atriach alav la'asot tevot harbe. I'm going to have to burden Noah to build lots of more tevot. Because he built one tevot to handle three kids. Can you imagine if he had 20 kids, how many tevot he would have to build? So what happens? Kavash et mayino, HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? What? Literally sterile, right, it almost like sterilizes, but it means literally dries up his source of potential seed. Velo holid achahaya ben chameshana. So that he was not capable of having a child until what? Till he's 500. Hold on, listen, hold on, it's not getting any better. Kidei shelo yehe yefet hagadol shebebanav, so that Yefet, his oldest, will not be ra'ui le'onshin lefnei hamabul. Yefet, says Rashi, deserved to die. This is what Rashi's saying. But if I time it correctly, Yefet will be too young to be punished for his crimes. Oh, that's going to be one of the more difficulties. One second, let's read it. How much is the time to wit before which HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes his decision? He quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Dichsiv ki hana'ar, a child ben me'a shana yamut. When he's 100, he will die. Ra'ui le'onesh le'atid. So says Rashi. So Rashi here gives us lots of information. Number one, that Noah and Mrs. Noah, who remains nameless, unless she is Na'ama, that's a midrash, again the text doesn't say it, that is Na'ama. Na'ama we came with that as Noah's wife. Noah, let's assume it is. Noah and Na'ama wanted to have lots of children. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented them from having children because of two factors. Either if they're Risha'im, he's going to have to watch them die. Or if they're Tzadikim, he's going to have to make them work too hard and build another Teva. Just unbelievable.
Where does he get this?
A Medrash. He's quoting Rabbi Yudin. Rabbi Yudin, he's quoting him. It's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah, in the primary source of Midrashim. You know what that would be analogous of today? What would be analogous today? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell you, it's going to stop having a child, so that what don't you have to do?
Watch them die.
No, so that if they're tzaddikim, if they're tzaddikim, oh, exactly. I don't want you to have to pay another $20,000 a year for a thing. I don't want you to pay another car. I don't want you to have braces. Oh, you're gonna have to put braces on them. You know what? I can have another child. It's hard to swallow such a medrash. It's hard to swallow it. Plus, he's already decided that who is a Russia?
Yes.
Really? Yefes is a Russia? Who is the only one who's a Russia according to the text?
Ham.
Ham.
And what about him saying that he's the oldest? Don't
of course he's the oldest.
But it says Shem Kamen.
Ah! So Rashi later, there's a pasuk later on where Yefes is identified as Bino Hagadol. Even though it's always written Shem Kamen Yefet. That's the way it's always written. But the order is Yefet, Shem, then Cham.
He was tall.
What?
Yeah. He was tall.
Maybe. What are the difficulties? Just one more second. What are the difficulties? You said with 100. How? When do we believe that somebody becomes worthy for punishment?
13.
Bar mitzvah? Or what other number can you give me?
20.
20. Bet Din Shalmata prosecutes when you're 13. Or 12 in your case. Bezin Shalmata. So if you were to do anything that is deserving of punishment after you're 12 years old, Betin will do whatever they do. They will lashes, give you, execute you if necessary. HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits until you're 20. Bakhaf La'onshin. Who remembers where it says Bakhaf La'onshin? In that famous medrash that Rashi quotes? Chayei Sarah, Me'ah Shana, Ve'esrim Shana, Ba'kof La'onshin. That's where Rashi quotes that message. And clear out of the blue sky, Rashi's quoting here, how old do you have to be for onshin?
100.
Where did that ever come from? Okay. But the pasuk in Yeshayahu, nothing to do with this. What? Yes. So this Rashi is very difficult to swallow. But so says Rashi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interferes in man and wife, husband and wife decision to have a child, precludes them based on the consequences of what's going to happen to their child. Who was attacked for employing this type of logic, refraining from having children because he saw in his crystal ball, who was he?
Hizkiyahu.
That is correct.
I thought I'm wrong too.
Who?
Amram.
Yes, that's correct. Amram also. And typically, we don't look terribly favorably upon people who are stargazers and say, "My children are not going to be." Therefore, they're not children. No, you have to go ahead and allow the child to be born, and then engage in his or her own free will. What? I know that's it's worse. He's undermining what he tells us to do. He's undermining what he expects us to do. Yes.
So then why, like after, if Esau was born, why didn't he like predict
them not to be born? Yeah. Why didn't he make sure that Esau is not born?
Or like nowadays, like anybody.
Of course. Exactly. Why didn't he make sure that Hitler wasn't born? That's all. Why didn't he make sure Haman was never born? Haman, right? We have to make sure. Haman ben Hamdasa. Tell Hamdasa you're not having any child because Haman's coming out of you. The world will be a beautiful place to live. But if you'll have too many tzaddikim, you can't have too many tzaddikim either because you're going to have too many expenses. So the world will be a very limited place. A very limited place. Yes.
I think why not see like in the framework of Bereshit, meaning we have all these tzaddikim who have difficulty having children, and that would kind of actually make sense in terms of the line, right? When we have all of the avos essentially is always, and they also pray to God. We don't see Noah saying,
correct.
What's going on?
That is correct. No place does the Chumash indicate that Noah prayed after 200 years. All my colleagues are having children. How come I'm not having children? It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know whether Noah and Naamah prayed or not. That's an excellent question. But in the line of Sefer Bereishis, where all the those who are significant to us, every one of them had difficulty having a child, or most of them, it's a very good question. It's a very good point. But then the Torah should tell us that. Vayhi Noach v'na'ama or v'ishto akara. And that's why they didn't have children. You're right. But Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Rashi seemed to say they would want to have children, and God precluded it. He precluded it. So, this is a little difficult to handle.
Are there other interpretations?
Yes, of course there are. So go back to the... So now look at the second sheet, the back of the other sheet. You have the Radak here. He just flat out admits, I don't know the answer to the question. That's also a good answer. I don't know. Writes the Radak, Lo yadanu lama icher kol kach leholid. I just can't figure out why Noach delayed having children. Shaharei asher hayu lefanav holidu b'nei me'ashana o pachot o yoter ma'at. Everybody else had it around 100, a little less, a little more. Ve'umin hanira, so what appears to me is ki harishonim kimo shekatavnu lo hayu rotfim hata'avat v'lo hayu niskakim li'isha ela b'nebneya o pochot o yoter ma'at v'kavanatam lahashir lohem zera b'lvad shelo l'ta'avot habasar. So what's he now saying? We discussed this once before. That what did they come to the recognition? That the having relations between husband and wife is only for what reason?
Procreation.
Not for any physical pleasure. So that's why they waited till 100, 120. So now what is he going to be saying about Noah? Oh, he's a bigger tzaddik. Why is he a bigger tzaddik? He stayed away for 500 years. Didn't have relations for 500. That's why he didn't have any children. The others only waited till 120, 130. They controlled themselves. But Noah was ish tzaddik. He waited 500 years. That's why if you don't have relations, you can't have any children. That's after he says lo yadanu. Yeah, we don't know. See, he's saying, well, along the theory which I presented the others, I can present Noach in that light too. Yeah.
We assume that Noah foresaw the marvel.
We don't know if he was told. He didn't foresaw.
Well,
he was told about it.
Before or after he had children.
After, according to the text, after. The pasuk says, "Vayivaled Noach shlosh banim." Next parsha, then Akadosh Vayomer him Noach, "Kates kol basar balafanai." That's what the Chumash says. Yeah. So there are two. So far, there are two answers. One is Rashi. This is the other one. I don't have a good third answer. I just want you to know. People react to the fact that Noah did not have any children before 500 years. That what?
That if you say that nature was corrupted, the whole of nature was corrupted by the evil that man was doing, that it could affect the genomes or
Perhaps. All of this discussion will lead us next week into Vayehi ki hechel ha'adam l'rov al pnei ha'adama ubanot yuldu lahem, a fascinating Ramban when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy the world. According to the Ramban, it's going to be way before Noah came onto the scene. Or certainly not, so we'll continue with the beginning of Perek Vav, next of us.